Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
No, no. Tā kāng sēmbrā chāng yu chūy nē, nē kādam tūbī, tā kādam bīl, tā nyāmi chūhū chīmbā nē sūng tē, nē kādam yu lāma nā jī, nē tūwā tīlī nā yī, tā ngā tī yīmbās.
The teaching that I have been giving you is based on this very wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Personal Advices, and this text contains personal advices from great Kadamba Geshe's, beginning with the great Adisha.
That so it's done around to any Kulun Judis and any Sanji Tanji to Sanji Kombatova Chago, Tobrajevi Chedo, that Nina Bikulunjin that Kyo Yorubas.
We have just cultivated the altruistic motivation that aspires for complete enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings.
Ane sanje je kompa thoba sheba la ane jache yu lamjirun bada samye lamjirun bada nili nyamsun lang gugu yore.
So what is contained in our altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation is the highest spiritual goal that we are seeking, which is complete enlightenment or Buddhahood. In order to be able to realize this complete enlightened state, it is a must that we study and cultivate what is known as the two dimensions of Buddha's teaching and path. And these are, one we called extensive dimension of the path, Gachewa Lam in Tibetan, and then there is the profound dimension of the path, so these two dimensions of the path of teaching need to be studied and cultivated in our mind to be able to become a complete enlightened person.
So
of these two aspects or the dimensions of the path that we could follow leading us to a complete enlightened state, great masters, from a historical teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha, and down through in the other great commentators of his teachings have advised us, generally speaking, to cultivate the extensive aspect of the path, or the extensive dimension of the path first, and then cultivate the profound dimension of the path. So then the question arises, how do we go about studying and cultivating what is known as the extensive aspect or the dimension of the path, which could probably also be translated as a skillful dimension of the path. And as we find it laid out in great Lamrim treatises, Lamrim is the Tibetan term which means stages of the path, and so in the Lamrim treatises such as the Lamb of Path to Enlightenment, and also the Lamrim treatises offered by great Tibetan master Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerenbuche, what we find is there's a presentation of what is known as the paths of three types of practitioner, the paths and practices of the three types of practitioners in Tibetan called Kebusum Jilam Jirimba. And so within these three paths and practices of the three types of practitioner, you know, we find all the extensive aspects or the dimension or the skillful dimensions of the path leading to complete enlightened state. As a matter of fact, in Lamrim treatises or treatises, we find a complete structure of the path laid out that begins with cultivating proper relationship with qualified spiritual gurus or lamas or masters, just to be simple, called guru devotion, and then all the way to accomplishing the complete enlightened state, which is called the state of non-trainees, literally translating, which means now you don't need any more training, you are already a Buddha. So Lamrim presents complete structure of the path from guru devotion all the way to the realization of enlightenment. Important and essential for us to listen to Lamrim teachings, contemplate them, and meditate on them. And through this, what we call traditional approach of listening, contemplation, and meditation, we call Thesam Gomsum, that we should be able to grow spiritually. And of course, then one of the questions we could ask ourselves is, when do we start doing that? Well, of course, we should do it from this moment, because we should not procrastinate doing that to some later time, as great masters such as Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Shantideva advises us.
Well, tu nang yi ge da ten zang bo ji to go re, ten ga ran zu to yu re, mi mi ten zang bo ji da jin jo ju zang mi li ji to yu re, so dan di to bi ge su dong yi ge cho li pa de to bo ji xie yu sang dang go re, ma tu dan den de ge ni ye su ne de li ge li ji cha bo ji to ya de ji ra ka go re zi ga nang.
In his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, or Bodhisattva Child Avatar, we in Tibetan call Chinju, Great Chandradeva states thus, as Geshe-la quoted the stanza from his memory, having found this useful abode, is a metaphor, we should make efforts to cross the ocean of suffering. And just don't, you know, waste our time, you know, sleeping. Because once we lose this boat, it would rather be very difficult to find it over and again. So the message that Chandradeva is giving us is this, that in order to grow spiritually, and especially to become a Buddha, it is... you know, essential for us to find the most suitable life basis, which is no other than the precious human life that we all have found now. So this precious human life and body of ours is like a boat that we should use to cross the water or the ocean of suffering. And if we don't do that, if we simply kind of waste our life in the enjoyment of napping and sleeping, then once we lose this life at the boat, it would be very difficult to find this kind of life over and again.
No, no. That day, son, don't get
So we need to use this boat of precious human life and body to cross the ocean of, to put it in another way, ocean of the two types of mental obscuration. And of course, we need to educate ourselves about what are the two types of mental obscuration that we must get rid of to become a Buddha.
Mitchell Gindal Dunga in the Chani, Ranta Gin Dunga in the Chan, Ting Mugu and Tradition, and go Nayata Chi. Gave it Dungitan, dying and looking how quiet, give it Dungita Koguyore, Navi Dungita Koguyore, Ragua, and they chewed Dungita Koguyore, Matu Ye, Caboris, Tang Gunga, Dunga, but Tang Moki, Tang Dunga, Moki, Mongoyers.
So, in order to cross the ocean of suffering, we really need to realize what suffering is and the extent of suffering. And so we may kind of, you know, feel that, yeah, we know what suffering is like. I mean, I can see this in other people's lives. You know, they are crying with pain, or I cry with pain. There is a suffering. I get a headache. No, that's no pleasure. I see people getting old, and then all the problems related with aging, and our people die, and they are so heartbroken. So I know what suffering means. Well, we only know a part of the story of the suffering. We really don't know, you know, the extent of the suffering.
Dajeng tambe che to ba ke dong e che pres chal sun sun es ne gna dong e che ba che ju dong he tne ta dong e man ra chi ke no sum yo res.
When our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha gave his first teaching, called first sermon sometimes, he talked about the Four Noble Truths in many different ways, and during which he said, first we should know about suffering, understand suffering, he said. Well, then, you know, what is suffering? Then he talked about, of course, three types of suffering that we should understand. So the three types of suffering that we must realize are suffering of misery or suffering of suffering, dungeji dungen in Tibetan, suffering of change, gurva dungel in Tibetan, and pervasive suffering or chabaduji dungel. So these are the three categories of suffering that we must understand.
Dang aran so dungi tangi kungha me kiben nai. Mo hi ate ane dungi ji dungi tha kogres. Kani dungi ji dungi si ate dungi ti ye be thala ti thala nimba shonga thala dungi ji dungi si kogres. Aran samalo chaban duji dungi ta khala nengi samalo chaban duji dungi nida chenge yama tu ta dunne nang kimba res. They told Dongi Jishuan, that tell any Dongi Jishuan.
So when we feel or say that, well, we do know what suffering is like, what suffering feels like, our understanding of suffering is pretty much confined to one of these three types of suffering, which is called suffering of suffering or suffering of misery, Dongi Jishuan. Why is it called suffering of suffering? It's because, you know, all of us have what is called pervasive suffering. Now, on top of that, it's like we got a double suffering. On top of that suffering, we got another suffering, and that's why it's called suffering of suffering. And so our understanding of suffering is pretty much confined to the first category of suffering called a suffering of suffering.
That is it. That jui dungi te ngaran so ha koi amar kogu yama kari esen sajik dewa tsangmalo sajik dewa tsangmalo tan jui dungi chagu yama.
Now we really don't recognize suffering of change or understand it. This kind of suffering includes all kinds of what we call you know, comforts and pleasures or even happiness that we know of. These contaminated, as we would say, happiness that we experience is, as a matter of fact, a form of suffering. It is called suffering of change. So that's why we talk about a particular kind of a misconception or distorted conception that we have. Tibetan term is called lokshe. A distorted perception or conception that we have is we see, misperceive, or regard that which is in reality suffering as something happiness or pleasurable. So we, in other words, consider that whatever temporary comforts and pleasures that we experience in our life are as if these are the real happiness or the true happiness. But that is a distorted conception.
Ani se teda ani se lechani se dal se la lonsho ani ani tei juis nani ah se la tei naga tamos ani teha jani dambo draw anda ma dina draw dini pe suse ani pe sem devo de kiu ya kido reti ina ya thamade ani ta dali chaya anda ma dini gundo ba tei tei juis dungheres ani dambo deva deva chembi chi yeba chi la dunghe deva te dunghe chi ngol pa ju junda ba tei tei juis dungheres. Then,
Let me give you a few examples of suffering of change, and I think if we probably could all relate to these examples or many more of the same or a similar kind. Let's first take pleasure that we derive from eating our favorite food. Because of our attachment to certain food, when we get the chance to eat the food we like very much, in the beginning we enjoy it very much. That gives us a lot of pleasure and delight. But then if we are not careful, with eating, if we overeat, then it could kick up problems. And so now we may not digest what we have eaten, or it could also cause sickness. So this is an example of how what we may consider as pleasure, it gets into, or it leads to suffering, or it changes into suffering. I'll take another example here, that we like to find friends and companions, and so we find each other, and we like it very much, and so it seems like there's so much pleasure and happiness to begin with. But then after a while, now things are not working out, and now we don't want to even see each other or be with each other. Now it just we consider ourselves as very close friends, and now we have almost become like enemies, or we are enemies, and we just want to be separated and don't want to see each other. So this is also a good example of how something we consider as if it brings us real happiness in the beginning, finding friendship or companionship, but later leads to, separation and headaches and, hostility and all of that. And I also often give this example, first when we feel cold and we go out in the sun, that's a sun bathing. Well, that looks like a lot of pleasure and happiness, and gives us the warm, and we feel so good. Now, if we stay too long in the sun, well, this pleasure is really not retaining, Now we started to get burned, and it's getting too hot, and we want to move into shade. And so, being in the shade at the beginning seems like, wow, this feels so cool, very nice. Now we stay too long in the shade, we started to freeze, and now we want to go to the sun, see? So the pleasures we derive from, like being in the sun or being in the shade, it changes. Otherwise, it doesn't really, stay as it is. So these are good examples, and I think if we pay attention to our own experiences of these kinds, we will get a hang of. We will start to understand what suffering of change is.
가보여레 때네 나네 페 내일 조연다 버튼자 아니 페 문이 전테 파 매버 조얄 타피르 다 따고엔데 용고도 왔어.
And I think we find plenty more examples, like think about, smoking or drinking or taking drugs. I guess, at the beginning, it all seems to be very, cool and, seems like, fun thing to do and, bring certain amount of pleasures or maybe. But then once we really get into these things, too deep into this, then they kick so many problems, health issues, and so many other problems.
So
I hope these few examples, illustrate the point that I'm trying to make, what suffering of change means, something that we consider as if it brings us true happiness or real happiness or pleasure, it really isn't. It changes into misery and suffering. Now, the third kind of suffering that we talk about is called pervasive suffering, or chapa duje ji dungel Tibetan. Now, this is a case where as long as we have what we call aggregates, our body, for example, which is the result of contaminated karmic actions and delusions. So long as we keep taking rebirth under the influence of contaminated karmic actions and delusions, we will have this kind of a suffering called pervasive suffering. So the first thing Shakyamuni Buddha told us is we should understand suffering, the nature of suffering, the extent of suffering. But then what's the point of doing that? The point of understanding suffering is then we really get interested find out what brings us all these sufferings that we really don't want. So we are going to find the source of suffering. So first thing Buddha said is you should realize or understand suffering, dunghe shebacha. And then he said, kunchung pamacha, you should abandon the cause of suffering or the source of suffering. So when Buddha said abandoned cause of suffering, of course he's not just talking about one single cause. As I just mentioned, we have to understand there is the karmic cause, leji kunjung, and then there is the delusional cause, or delusion as a cause. So we need to get rid of both this karmic cause and delusion from which sufferings come about. So again, delusion or nyomo, kleshya in Sanskrit, is not a single phenomenon. It is a whole world in itself, as you might say. And we have as many as 84,000 delusions or forms of delusion in each of us. And so when we look at the root delusions, we can talk about three poisons or three root delusions. Of course, the underlying delusion is ignorance, avidya or marigba. And from it arises other delusions such as anger and attachment. So these are called three poisonous delusions or three delusions. And from these delusions arise more delusions. So we can talk about different classifications of delusions. We can talk about three poisonous delusions. We can talk about six primary delusions. And then from these delusions arise all the remaining delusions. So the complete list of delusions consists of
84,000 delusions.
And karmic source of the cause called leji kunjung of our suffering, it consists of not only the negative karmas or the bad karmas, but also positive karmas which are contaminated by delusions. So that's why I often use the word contaminated karmic actions, meaning both good and karmas, which all of these are contaminated. So these contaminated karmic actions are also, you know, causes of our misery.
So that ngaranzo lojno che de karde sena chue go lojno che dabo che ba che deni ne ani tenda de sam deni gom je che go karde sena le ta nyomun ge deni mo de pan ya ge che de res.
As we are engaged in Dharma education, if you like, we participate in Dharma teachings, and the purpose behind our Dharma education is and should be that first we learn about Dharma, not about Dharma, we learn what Dharma is, and then we contemplate Dharma or spirituality, and then we cultivate spirituality or do the meditation. And the sole purpose of doing all of these things, listening, contemplation, meditation, or study, contemplation, thinking, and meditation, is to counteract contaminated karmic actions and delusions, all of which reside inside us.
Yeah, so that can be in the ngaranjo sape adi megiwi leta is da ge megita saki ke gewai na saki saki gewai ta megiwi leta ane nyomo ta nyomo nyomo pe ane nyomo pe ane a di ane nyomo ni bet mapana ane tabe gomba toye mebeta.
Causes of suffering are contaminated karmic actions, which include, of course, negative actions, but also positive actions, which are contaminated by delusions, and all types of delusions. Now, if we don't get rid of, if we don't eliminate contaminated karmic actions and delusions from within our mind, there is no way to find nirvana, or there is no way to find enlightenment.
So san go bolu duke ta taba ko ti thogre sen na ta ti land of dele le ta nyomo se pe thars is ka na yores.
Now if asked, when will we be able to find nirvana or liberation, great Indian realized master scholar Aryadeva has said, as Geshe-la quoted the line, he says, "You find nirvana or liberation from samsara at the end of exhausting contaminated karmic actions and delusions." In other words, whenever we put an end to our contaminated karmic actions and delusions, at that point of time, we find liberation, nirvana, nibbana.
Yes. That later, nyomo nichinane, that nyomo sabkhiris.
Now, of these two causes of suffering, contaminated karmic actions and delusions, delusions are, you know, more problematic and worst causes of suffering.
Nyomo na teni le sabkhiris.
That's because motivated by delusions, or you know, undergirded by delusions, we create and accumulate karmic actions.
So maribata maribata yiyashi ta pena sochu kele ta megi ochu kele shi zane ane ndocha ki temu wang ta kanru ki kuin lhane ane megi le shugu yaris.
Let's consider this. When we think about how we ourselves or others find them engaging in the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, generally it is because of one of the three poisonous delusions instigate us to do it. Of course, always there is pretty much ignorance underlying there. And then it could be the attachment that makes us indulge in negativities, or it could be the anger or hatred that makes us indulge in negativities. So basically, the delusions are causing us to engage in the, negative karmic actions.
Yes. te rang ki lu ta nga ki neba si ya ten ane rang ju li yu pin do cha ki ta temu sun ki wang ki ta shi ki yu res ti ha ko pa shi san pa.
So we need to understand that when we hurt others or harm others, it's basically because of our delusions. You know, we, because of delusions such as ignorance, attachment, and anger inside us, that we, you know, harm others through the actions of our body, speech, and mind.
No, less. That's the one thing that's humble.
So I thought, you know, those things are really something beneficial to all of us, and that's why I have taken a little bit of time here to talk about those things. So consider that as my preliminary teaching, and now we will go into the text where we left off last time. If we think seriously, what really destroys us is actually the delusions inside us.
No, unless. That thing, any the savage, that carries that symptom, the inda.
No.
Young, gishi singa we shene, seta. Gishi singa we dam do sung. Sir, my condition,
Great Kadamba Geshe Changaba tells us that because of the two types of grasping at selves that we have, grasping at the self of a person and grasping at the self of phenomena, all other delusions arise from these two graspings, and they flourish. It is as if these two graspings produce delusions of all kind, and then these delusions, they flourish. Increase in us like anything. It's just sort of like watching a tree grow and produce foliages and, you know, all the leaves, you know, going crazy.
So that didn't
Another great realized Indian Buddhist scholar, master scholar, Acharya Chandrakirti, has also said, as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, that we should understand that all kinds of delusions, they arise from what is called, literally translating here, the view of transitory collection. Or the transitory view, jikthalatava in Tibetan, jikta, the view of transitory collection. So the, what is the view of transitory collection, if you ask, it is basically the graspings that we just mentioned.
Gishe
Jangaba tells us that in a general sense, all kinds of harms come about from the two types of grasping, grasping at the self of a person and grasping at the self of phenomena. That being said, but at a personal level, so to speak, what really is harming us, a lot more, so to speak, is actually grasping at the self of a person.
Mm. So, rang kangsa dangzi la teni ene dela teni ta de che ki de tmu la so chama lo dela teni yong yo.
So it is from our grasping at the self of a person, other delusions such as attachment, and anger and jealousy and all come about.
Na yu yi don wa la cha yi de mo wa la kontra sa ya ta ane pam la ta ni ta yoran do pam yoran do de chama lo ane dangzi maru ba ten ta da zbal ten chung ya.
Because of grasping at the self of a person, when we encounter pleasant or attractive objects, we experience attachment to them. Because of grasping at the self of a person, when we encounter unpleasant objects or unattractive objects, we dislike them and we hate them. We become angry with them. And because of our grasping at the self of a person, when we encounter beings who are neither our friends nor our enemies, called strangers, then we experience indifferent attitude. We don't care about them.
So that Maranzu meba zoju pe pala gwe de kala ju de karres na meba zoju de karres na ani kansak da daris.
So our job is to knock out or to destroy grasping at the self of a person.
Tati langwe sepa le chi chenja ku thon la ju me yomares. Si me chetang ke tere chetang ke tang ran chuk zepe. And then, 성격 la
but this grasping at the self of a person needs to be destroyed, needs to be knocked out, but we cannot do it with any kind of conventional weapons.
Kansak dad pan zing sak ta zing yak lakchen bu karre sen na te ba to samba ko be kira samba kira gombe kira sum chi thoni a tan zing gu ya.
So if conventional weapons of all kinds that we manufacture in factories, artillery factories, are of no use to destroy grasping at the self of a person, then what kind of a weapon should we fashion and use to fight it? So the kind of weapon that we need is cultivating different types of wisdom, related to or arising from listening, contemplation, and meditation. So through cultivating wisdoms arising from listening, contemplation, and meditation on Dharma teachings, we could use those wisdoms to counteract our grasping at the self of a person.
Dadi dan danzi ji yo dere ko meba zo la ta chonje ji go yo re zo chonje ta rang zo go ndo was ti ti zo dang nan zo ya mo ndo was.
So the point that we should get out of this is we do need weapons to destroy our grasping at the self of a person, but the weapons are not something that others can manufacture in factories and we can buy them from them. But the weapons are something that we ourselves need to personally make or cultivate, so we need to cultivate the weapon-like wisdoms in our own mind to fight off with the grasping at the self of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder whether somebody is thinking about, well, okay, and I understand that we cannot buy, I mean, the weapons, conventional weapons to fight off with this grasping, but how about, can I rent, you know, something from Buddha or gurus or bodhisattvas that I can just, you know, rent from them some kind of weapons that I can fight off with this grasping? Sorry, you cannot rent anything here. Our historical teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha, has been absolutely clear, you know, I'm categorically clear about this matter, that he cannot do lend to you or we cannot rent anything from him.
Then do rang ni kanna yote. Ane, listen, ane, 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 doi dongi shakam bisinis.
In a sutra, sutra contains the words of original words of Buddha. Shakyamuni Buddha himself said, "I cannot, or Buddhas cannot, remove your suffering with their hand." And he also said that nor can I wash your negativities with water, or I can transfer my realizations into you, as if, you know, we can do some kind of a surgery and, you know, take out all our delusions and negativities, and then Buddha can put all their realizations into our organs. You know, we cannot do such transplants of realizations or transference of realizations. So if Buddha cannot transfer their realizations into us, then, I mean, that is very clear that we cannot rent anything from them. Their realizations are not for rent.
So that,
So if Buddhas cannot wash our negativities and delusions with blessed water, they cannot remove the sufferings from us with their hands, enlightened hands, they cannot transfer or transplant their realizations into our mind, then what can they do really? Well, Buddha himself is clear about answering this question. He said, what we can do is that we will show you the truth as it is, the reality as it is, and by seeing the reality, you should be able to liberate yourself, free yourself. And so what Buddha has done is has shown us the unmistaken path and the truth as it is. And so if we follow the Buddha's teaching and experience the truth as it is, through this kind of experience and realization, which has to come about through our practice and cultivation, that we ourselves should be able to free or liberate ourselves from delusions and suffering. So in other words, as Geshe Jangaba has said here, that it is through cultivating wisdoms, from listening to teaching, contemplating the meaning of the teaching, and meditating on the ascertained meaning of the teaching, that we should be able to counteract our grasping at self and get rid of it.
But
But if you do, we do feel like, you know what, yeah, I have been listening to teaching, I'm doing contemplation, meditation, but really nothing is, there's no effect on my grasping or delusion. Then that, what that means is that we have not been doing these three things properly. We have not been listening to the teaching properly, we are not doing proper contemplation, and we are not doing proper meditation.
So that the nimble muscles that that the share song is it ne mari pa dang ji che de de ta ane da de de da le chen be chen ba chen de chen ju na ane so so ane pe kar se ta ne de ma shin ta res to sam go sim.
If we find that through listening, contemplation, and meditation, instead of our graspings declining and becoming weak, they become stronger and more dominant and flare up, then that means something has gone wrong in the way we approach our study and practice of Dharma. We have not done the listening, contemplation, meditation properly. Otherwise, that should not, should not have happened.
Then the end is on the way. Nga se nga da kesher sone zesem shawi chung is dandi danying bajer endo. The zesem san me abse te kolon zensen zensen pe tambar dupan des pe da tam de chini. This has been to song with here lobos with da yin started to cure you know.
And so here, as in the text, it's mentioned that through study, contemplation, meditation, if we feel like that we were becoming more impatient, we're becoming more uptight, becoming more egomaniacs, well, then we are not doing our study and practice properly.
So that the Tosan was the Lopez Mutari says that things in Haranji, Melam JL.
As we engage in practice, we should also make a proper dedication of our positive actions or merit, that may we be able to direct our mind into Dharma. May our cultivation of Dharma, arise in the form of spiritual path. In other words, let's say, may I be able to direct my mind into Dharma, and may my Dharma practice become a spiritual path. So the real antidote to counteract self-grasping is to meditate on selflessness. So we need to meditate on selflessness in order to counteract our grasping at self, because that is the antidote to our grasping. But meditating on selflessness does not mean that we kind of block out all kind of external appearances in our mind, and then we kind of put ourselves in an empty mind. Like, okay, all external phenomena are blocked out. So now I'm in kind of a blank state of mind, as if that is meditation or selflessness. No. By blocking out all the external appearances, we put our mind in an empty state. But that our grasping at self has not been counteracted at all, harmed at all, even not a scratch on it. Well, then that means we are not meditating on what selflessness actually is. And the example given here is, it is like we put the target in front of us, but then we shoot the arrow backward. Well, of course, it's not going to hit the target. The target is in the front, not behind. But if we send the arrow, you know, in the opposite direction, it's not going to hit the target. So it would just be like that. So what we are really talking about here is that we must be able to identify precisely what is called the object of negation, what is being negated or refuted, to realize emptiness or selflessness. Yeah. As great Shantideva states in his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, where he says that if we first don't recognize what is the imputed phenomenon, Pabangwe, we even don't touch it, then there's no way to understand that imputed phenomenon does not exist. Okay, so what he's basically telling us is, in order to understand what selflessness or emptiness is, we must understand what is being negated or refuted, the object of negation or refutation, very precisely. Otherwise, we will miss the point. So what is involved in precisely recognizing the object of negation we call gacha, what is being refuted, in order to realize selflessness, emptiness, is that we have to understand how do we perceive self and phenomena to exist. It's very important for us to precisely recognize the way in which we misperceive actually self and phenomena to exist. And so the way we see them exist is, as a matter of fact, distorted perception, lokshe, a wrong perception. And if we don't recognize that clearly, then there is no way for us to realize or understand how things don't exist the way we think they exist. We won't be able to understand what emptiness is. And an example given to illustrate this point is that if a thief has, you know, run into the forest, we are after the thief, but we don't really know exactly what the thief looks like or went into. But if we go and try to find the footprints of the thief on a meadow, right, then we are never going to be able to find the thief. So it will exactly be like that. If we don't understand the way in which we misperceive self and phenomena to exist, we will never understand that phenomena and self do not exist the way we see them to exist. Another example that is often given by the Lamas to illustrate this point is I think it comes from what the great, the first Dalai Lama, Gyalpa Trungpa, has said. Let's say if you are going to perform, just to make it simple for you to understand it, because it requires some traditional knowledge here, that in order to get rid of demons and negative evil forces, right, there are rituals, you know, that we can send ritual cakes to them, and then we ask them to leave, you know, the environment. But to be able to do that, we really need to understand, you know, in which direction we find negative spirits or the demons. Let's assume that these disturbing beings are in the east, but we perform the ritual cake offering and send all the ritual cakes to the opposite direction, to the west. Well, this ritual is not going to be effective, because these beings are not going to receive the, ritual cakes. So, that would be a misguided practice, sending the ritual cakes to the west when the devils are in the east, so to speak. So like that, if we don't know what the object of negation really is, then we cannot understand that it does not exist.
Tōmini gōngyā tētē lēlā pō rēsī ngī māngbōndu, tētē kāwī, kāwī lēlā yā mārēs, kāwī rēs.
I think there are a lot of people who are so interested, and they say, oh, I'm meditating on emptiness, and they give this kind of a air that, oh, I know what, emptiness is not difficult, you know, it's not that difficult to understand. But emptiness is very difficult to understand. It's not an easy thing.
Kārī yīn sēnā, tā alī tāmbū tīshē pālā, ये कंडी चीज़ ना ती इतने अने तो नहीं तो वो शेबल ले गाज़त उन्हें जिंगुरेस।
Let's in order to realize emptiness of a particular phenomenon or an object, let's say, we should be able to understand what is the object of negation or refutation with regard to that object or phenomenon.
गाज़त जिंबिं तंग तेरा
Because if we don't understand the way in which we grasp at that phenomenon or an object to exist, then there is no way that we can understand that our grasping has gone wrong, we understand the way in which that phenomenon or object actually exists. The point we are trying to make here is that there is a disparity between the way we perceive a phenomenon or an object to exist, actually, and the way in which a phenomenon or an object exists in reality. So if we don't understand that disparity, the way in which we see it to exist, and that it does not exist really in that way, then there is no way for to understand the emptiness of that object.
Gaja gan jinsu ti, gaja gan ane jinsu ti ha ma wana ti loso tomani tobe khere de rangi shi akawre.
So in other words, if we do not recognize the mode of apprehension of a particular object from our side subjectively, then there is no way for us to understand the way in which that phenomenon actually exists, which is the emptiness. So, this is the bottom line. If we do not recognize precisely the object of negation called gacha in the theory of emptiness, we will not understand what emptiness is. All the examples we have given is to illustrate this point. For example, we say that the target is in the front, we send the arrow backward. Well, that's not going to hit the target. The devils are in the east, we send the ritual cakes to the west. That didn't work. See? So it would exactly be like that.
Gaja gan jinsu te heba shen te meba te ha kwa gu yas. Tene ma sheba shen ne ta yi ti pene pomba ne re karina ta yi ti tongba ni sam tang de sa ne te tsa ni mandu sam tang sam yi na ane gaja gan dinsu te nang yi zan mendu sam sang go ma to to yi zan mendu sang yin chen dal hong du go.
You know, it is really, there's, how should I say, risk involved in approaching what emptiness is. Let's take a vase as an example. When we talk about the emptiness of a vase, the first thing we need to be very clear about is that the way in which it does not exist. In other words, the way in which we perceive the ways to exist, okay? The way we perceive the way to exist is actually the way it does not exist. You know what I'm saying? That's what is called the object of negation. So if we don't understand the way in which we perceive the ways to exist, we will never understand that it does not exist in that way. It exists in a different mode, which is called emptiness. So if we are meditating on emptiness, if we kind of feel like, oh, the vase does not exist at all, well, we missed the whole point. Now we have become a nihilist. We have annihilated even the conventional existence of a vase that we should not have done. Because conventionally, a vase does exist.
No, no, that's the only...
For Edward Mangumli.
Oh, yeah, this is okay.
Edward Mangumli. Edward Jr., he's 18 years old. And Danny Magini, 73 years old.
Sidin Charvej, she's old. Sidin.
Tom, I'm sorry, Tom.
Is it alive or not?
What is the reason for the prayers?
Okay, that shingi sun de tende kunza ko da sun de tende.
Okay, I have one name here. Bass Lichty passed away and prayer has been requested for the person. And also we just want to remind you one more time that thousands of people have died in the cyclone in Burma and in the earthquake in China. And thousands are missing and thousands are, you know, millions are suffering. So we want to think about all of them and send our prayers, respectively for them.
No, no.
Let's visualize Chenrey Sikh Ali Avalokiteshvara and recite the six-syllable mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, thinking about people who have lost their lives, and we dedicate our marriage for them to find good rebirths and meet with spirituality and so on. And those who are dealing with health issues, we dedicate our merit for them to recover from their sicknesses. And so with that in mind, let's pray together.
Come on, baby, 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 come on, baby
Whatever merit we have accumulated together this morning, we dedicate it for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and both monastic practitioners and lay practitioners remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all become Buddhas soon. I would like to announce that I think Geshe-la has a guest today, so please you know, postpone your visit to him today.
So I just have an announcement for people. We are still continuing to send contributions to people in Burma, and as of today, there's been another huge aftershock in China, and so they also are in need. So if you have any contributions, we can send them on to the respective organizations. Also, I would like to say that I've been doing the finances for the last several months, and contributions to the overseas projects continue very well, but every week there more than what comes to Thupten Dargye Ling itself. And Geshe-la wants to continue to offer the classes for free so that anyone may come to the classes, but we do rely on your contributions so that we can keep up the expenses and take care of the costs here at the center. So in order to keep the classes free, we do rely on people making contributions. So thank you very much.
Come here and also take care of the... I think we are doing the outsiders quite well, good, but the center also we need to think about everybody, think about here also. Thank you.
Thank you.